السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. صدق الله المولان العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. رسول سيد درود شريف، اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحمي. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى. يا واسع الكرم. My most respected elders, our dear brothers and young friends, once again we thank Allah Rabbul Alameen, and we are grateful to him for the great bounty of Iman and Islam and the benefits and the bounties that flow from being a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed favored a Muslim and favored the Muslim Ummah with the great bounties of his spiritual recognition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also favored the Muslim Ummah with a great amount of his physical and outward bounties. In today's discussion, inshallah, in this few minutes that we have, we will discuss two verses of the Quran al-Kareem very briefly. And these two verses are the last two verses of the Quran that were revealed upon the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is mentioned by the commentators of the Quran al-Kareem that the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, who was the conveyor of revelation, had come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 18,000 times. 18,000 times the angel of Jibreel had descended with the wahi and the revelation to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a great amount of discussion in the form of his appearance, and how the wahi would be revealed, and what would be the effect of that revelation, etc. So if we have to look at it, this was perhaps the 18,000th time that the angel had come down to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and had revealed to him these two verses. These two verses are verse 128 and 129 of Surah At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah, we know, is a surah that is in the 10 juz, and it completes in the 11 juz of the Quran al-Kareem. And these two verses are the very last two verses. And the discussion, if we look at Surah At-Tawbah, it evolves around warfare. It evolves around the conditions of the Muslims in very difficult and trying circumstances. Various battles are made mention in this particular surah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon the believers to be courageous, to be brave, and to be strong and assertive in their iman and in their faith. However, when we look at these two verses, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the surah and concludes revelation with some of the most distinct and remarkable qualities of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the uswatul hasana. He was the benchmark of, or the parable of, the best example. This is what the Quran al-Kareem refers to as one of the attributes of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was uswatul hasana. Uswa basically means to be a role model, to be an inspiration, to be the best example. And therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in these two verses, he says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. that most certainly a messenger, a Rasul has come to you from among you, in reference to the Makkans and the Arabs. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam of course was sent to the entire humanity, but his location and where he commenced his mission was among the Arab people. So a messenger has come from you, from your tribe, from your people, from your land, from your soil. Azizun alayhi ma anittum. And the first remarkable quality of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as far as his humanity was concerned, was that it weighed very heavy upon him that which afflicted you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would be very perturbed, and he would be worried, and he would be disturbed by the condition of the believers, by what affected the believers. In other words, he was a very caring person, and he was someone who had deep concern for his followers and for those who were close to him, and those who adhered to him, and those who had expressed their love for him. And as much as this was revealed right at the end of the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it directly was attributed to the Sahaba and the companions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but by extension, it means that every person who would come thereafter till the end of time and would believe in the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would become a recipient of this awe, of this concern that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had for his followers and for his ummah. So the first quality Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes mention is Azizul Alayhi Ma Anittum, that he would be very perturbed and concerned as to what was afflicting you, the difficulty that you are going under. And the second aspect Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes mention is Harisun Alaykum Bil Mu'mineen. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Haris. Haris literally can mean someone who is wanting a lot. But in this context, it means someone who was very concerned of the welfare of where his followers and who were close to him. He was anxious about our condition. He was anxious that we must follow the right path. He was wanting that the Muslim Ummah must always be guided. It must always be prosperous. It must always be on the path of guidance and righteousness. And this was a fikr that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam carried throughout his life. After the first wahi, the commentators of hadith make mention that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a very profound statement. And he said, La rahata ba'da al-yawm. Once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received the first revelation, he said, La rahata ba'da al-yawm. What do we understand from rahat? Rahat means comfort, rahat means ease, rahat means to be in a state of easiness and comfort and to have no worry. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam declared that from today, there is no rest for me. There is no rahat for me. I'm not going to be in a state of comfort. I'm not going to be at ease. Meaning I now have this great responsibility upon my shoulders and I need to convey this to humanity till the end of my life and I need to ensure that I fulfill this mission. So, furthermore, this verse continues, Ra'ufur Rahim. Two other remarkable qualities of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Ra'uf. Ra'uf means Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was extremely compassionate, and Rahim means he was very merciful. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the entire narrative as to what his mission is and what would be the emotional outcomes, etc. And then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the consolation also, and he says, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا. Now if the people turn away from you, now if they are not interested, فَإِن تَوَلُّوا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ, then what is your approach? What should be our approach? Our approach to the challenges that we are facing, Islamophobia, and the type of abuse that Islam is undergoing, and the type of challenges that we are facing today, is not that we also become equally aggressive and become instigative and we become intimidating and discriminating. But the approach is فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ, that we place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by taking the higher moral ground and by adopting the sunnah approach, the prophetic approach of the seerah, and فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ. Tell them that I place my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa huwa rabbul arshil azim, and He is the controller of all the affairs, He is the master of the universe, He is the beholder of the great throne. So the commentators, first perhaps let's just mention one virtue of these two particular ayat. They are very profound, firstly, in a person who is disturbed. Today we find anxiety, stress, depression, and other mental challenges. Right? They say mental health and mental welfare is actually the disease of the century, meaning this new millennium that we are in. The biggest challenges that humanity is facing is the challenges of the mind, of the mental side of things. And people are having difficulty in reasoning, in understanding, in differentiating, in unpacking certain things which are quite obvious, certain things which are quite common. Common sense sometimes is not common anymore. And we find people doing irrational thinking, knee-jerk decisions, people being impulsive and reactive in situations, particularly in relationships, particularly in our social structures. And therefore we find quarrels, a lot of unpleasantness, and there's a whole host of issues that of people not being able to reason well and to be fully mentally and emotionally functional. So therefore this ayah alludes to this, that as much as Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa sallam had these great mental and emotional, the Ummah was concerned, and the abuse and discrimination that he was facing from the people of Makkah, but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa sallam was called upon to hold his position. He was called upon to rise above these challenges and to continue with his work and his mission in a way that would be able to turn the tables around. To turn the situation around from what it was to a positive one, and to make it one that would become attractive to people to come close to Islam and to embrace the deen of Islam. So one of the virtues that the commentators mentioned under the authority of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as far as these last two verses are concerned, these two verses are very effective in a person being able to heal himself emotionally and mentally. And a person who reads these two verses three times in the morning, and three times in the evening, three times in the morning and three times in the evening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease the work of this person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease the worries that a person has. And when we will read it with the meaning and the proper understanding, then we find that there is a lot of emotional healing in these verses also, and there is a lot of solace that a person can take. To know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned about me. To know that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is distressed by what distresses me. This is essentially what this verse is saying. That harisun alaikum. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned about us. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam is distressed by what pains us. And there is a lot of elaboration to this. A person may say that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how would he know about our distress? It is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that the condition of the Ummah, of every individual, is conveyed to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our deeds, our condition, our lives, what we are doing, our a'mal, are conveyed to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in fact, they are even conveyed to our relatives who have passed away. And when they see good conditions, when they see good actions, when they see us in a good situation, then they become happy. And they actually convey a sentiment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast and Allah increase us in this goodness. And when they are made known, or when they learn of our poor condition, when they learn of our distress, and when they learn that we are in problems, then they also become distressed. And then they reach out, and they reach out in a form of a sentiment to say that please do not spoil our joy here in the hereafter. Your distress of the world and the way that you are conducting yourself is causing our souls to become hurt. And therefore they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us hidayat and to give us guidance so that we may be able to better our lives and to better our condition. So we see that this ayah is something that is very broad, and it is something that is very relevant to our conditions today. And therefore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa sallam was the uswa hasana. He was the paragon of good conduct, of the best example and the best model. And I think in today's time, my dear friends, this is what is the need of the time that we have. That we need to be people of purpose. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's fikr for his ummah and what is reflected in these ayat was so deep and profound that it is mentioned one of the people who was in the grave of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam during his burial was a nephew of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by the name of Khutham bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. He was a companion who resembled Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam very closely. The recorders of history, those who record the history and the tariq, have mentioned that there are five individuals that resemble Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam very closely in their physical appearance. And one of them was Khutham bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Khutham bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the last person in the grave of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to do the last rites of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his grave. And before he left the grave, it is mentioned that he had one last glance at the Mubarak face of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he saw the lips of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam moving at that time, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was uttering the words, Ummati, Ummati. Ummati, Ummati, my Ummat. We have read the last sermon of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the very last words of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the last advice, the last wasiyat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was to his ummah, it was about his ummah, it was for his ummah. The last two verses that we are discussing here in the Quran Al-Kareem, the last two verses of Surah Tawbah that were revealed to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were about his concern for his ummah, his pain for his ummah, his pain for each and every one of us. And ultimately, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had passed away, the last words on his lips in his grave also were Ummati, Ummati. So we understand from this that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a person who was most concerned about humanity and his followers and the Ummah. And therefore, it is our responsibility now that we take upon this pain and this fikr, and we also draw emotional healing, and we draw courage and we draw strength from these ayat that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's concern is for us, our distress is his distress, our pain is his pain. However, the way that we are going to be able to overcome all of this that is happening of us is affected, my dear friends. Recently, one of the leaders of the Palestinian resistance, he has appealed to the world, he has appealed to the ummah, and he has appealed to the leaders of the world that give the people of Gaza time to heal. We cannot fathom and understand and fully comprehend what they have been through, psychologically, mentally, in every respect. And it's not just life as normal, that everything stopped, or not everything has stopped yet, but the major atrocity perhaps to a large extent has cessated, there's been a cessation. So therefore, give the people a chance to breathe, give them a chance to heal, give them a chance to live. And like that, the entire ummah has been traumatized by this genocide and whatever has happened, and everything that is happening in other parts of the world also. So definitely, as an ummah, we need a great amount of, one is time, and then we need the proper tools and the skills. We need to develop ourselves. We need to understand the depth and the gravity of what has happened. We need to appreciate the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of this that has happened. That a great victory has been achieved. A great victory has been achieved. And we may not understand the gravity of it. Because where we are sitting in the comforts that we enjoy, in the type of luxurious life that we live, far away from reality, we don't understand the depth and the gravity of what has happened. But my dear friends, those people who are right there in the front line, in the cold face of the atrocities, in the melting pot of what is happening, in the transformation that is taking place, in the landscape of change, speak to them and see what is in their hearts and understand their hope. Then we will be able to appreciate what has happened. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly give us the right understanding. And that is why it is so important for us to be able to analyze what is taking place properly. We cannot just be, today, unfortunately, the type of social media that we are exposed to, we've become very reactive, very impulsive, easily falling prey to false information, false news, and we don't have any form of proper strategy. We do not find ourselves to be very organized in our community, in our society, in our country. And sometimes we are inflicting harm upon ourselves because of our lack of understanding of realities, not only in our own country, in our own community, in our own setting, but even of the global picture. So that is one need of the time, that as a Muslim ummah, as young people, our young people especially, and even our adults need to play a leading role. We've got to develop academic astuteness and understanding. We've got to become smart and savvy. We've got to harness the different platforms, the different landscapes, the different abilities and the competence that is required. My dear friends, we cannot be an ummah that is continuously going to be subjugated. The ummah has a glorious history. We have a rich legacy. But let us go and study that how did these people achieve what they achieved. This rich legacy was not only achieved by making ibadat in the masjid. They did not contain themselves only to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the asal. It is the foundation. It is primary. It is fundamental. We cannot forgo salah. We cannot, salah is our priority. Dhikr, Quran, dua, tahajjud, ibadat is all priorities in our life. And together with those priorities, the Muslim ummah also has other areas of function. We've got to be economically astute. We've got to be politically astute. We've got to understand how the media of the day is working. We've got to understand the narrative of the day. We've got to understand the needs of the ummah. And those people who are able to champion and captain these initiatives need to come to the fore. We've seen how through technology and how through certain projects and certain very intelligent moves that people made, they were able to capture the minds of the larger populace of the world. This was not just done wishfully. It just didn't happen like that. The narrative just changed. There was concerted effort that was made. There were people who were deployed and did things in a way that was required to see the effect and the impact that we are seeing today. And we must know that the opposition are working tirelessly with every form of investment and strategy that they can to try to oppose the narrative. Recently there was something that came in the news, and I know I've digressed a lot, that a certain country is trying to put a curfew on young people's exposure to the social media, which outwardly seems to be a very good thing. That of course we know that social media consumption is a major, major problem in our community and society. But did we ever think that why don't they want the young people to be exposed to so much of social media is changed. And their youth are now learning about Islam and the Muslim world and about Palestine and everything else like they never knew before. And therefore let us put the brakes, let us put a curfew, let us put a stop to all of this in the name of trying to save our children from the scourge of social media. So they are thinking a lot, they are steps ahead, and we need to catch up and we need to be ahead of them. So my dear friends, the ummah, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has left us with a great amount of potential, but a great amount of responsibility also, and therefore, as much as Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with everything, these resources, we can enjoy them, we can have a good life, a comfortable life, but we cannot become so absorbed and consumed that we are unable to then rise for the ummah. We are unable to then play our role. We are unable to then make ourselves functional in a sense that we are able to contribute to the ummah in a way that will be able to give us a leadership, that will be able to make us influential. The Muslims of the past, what was one of the greatest weapons and ways in which they were able to spread Islam? They were able to be influential. Wherever they were able to be influential. They did not have to give direct da'wah also. They did not even have to speak about Islam. But because they were so well grounded in what they did, in the conveying of Islam through their akhlaq, through their character, through their mannerisms, through the seerah, through the sunnah, through their mu'amalat, through their transacting, they were able to influence people very, very broadly. And that is what is required today. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear friends, through the barakah of these two verses that we have discussed today, a very cursory overview of these two verses. We have not even gone into each part of this verse, but the idea is that this verse is a calling, these two verses are a calling to the ummah. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling out with pain to us. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ Harisun alaykum. He is very concerned and very distressed about the condition of the ummah. But Raufur Rahim, become people of compassion, become people of work and service and effort. Work hard, develop yourself, develop competence, and take positions in the positions of leadership, positions of influence. And then inshallah ta'ala, we will find with all the other good work that the ummah is doing, we will be able to move forward and we will be able to advance the cause of the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.